If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. And we've begun working our way through the book of Daniel. And last week we looked at verses 1 through 7 of the text. Today we'll be looking at verses 18 through 21 of the text. And we'll be looking here on page 873 of your pew Bibles. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. And thus ends this reading of God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades. This word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, I do ask that you would give ear to your people, that they may be able to hear your truth with a discerning heart and a discerning mind, to be able to bring forth important elements from events long ago into contemporary application to us today, and to be able to mitigate against the voices that may skewer a true perception of what it is that we are to get from your word as we live all of our life by faith in who it is that spoke and what it is that you have said. Speak to your people this day and help us each and every day of our living. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
We get that back.
Many of you may have gone into bookstores or seen certain things on television over the course of the last few years that always try to find the latest and the greatest gimmick program to move to a particular end. We just went past New Year's. One of the most common New Year's resolutions is what? I need to lose a few pounds. I need to shave off a little bit of what I ate. The Thanksgiving dinner was great, but coupled with the Christmas ham and the New Year turkey or duck or whatever it is, all together, and all the Christmas candy that came in, as wonderful as it was to have it, oh, I found myself a little bit hard to be able to say no to it, and I need to do something about that. And so we turn to programs or regimens that help us at times to be able to do some of those things. And in 2013, and it wasn't new just in 2013, it's been going on for a while, there was a book that came out that was called The Daniel Plan. I believe it was written by Rick Warren out of Saddleback Church. He had other co-authors that were doctors that went along with it. But the idea behind it was God has given scriptural principles on which diet and exercise should be conditioned. And we get two examples of them in the book of Daniel. One of them found here, one of them found later on in some of his fasting. And so we need to embrace the Daniel plan for healthier living in 2017 and well beyond. Now, much has been made of this story in many times. Some people have read this story and looked at it as a commendation for vegetarianism. Why? Because Daniel and his friends, as they come into the court of King Nebuchadnezzar, only eat vegetables. And look at their face! Look at how healthy they are! They look better than everybody else that eats all the choice meats and the bad stuff that's coming from the king's table. Therefore, the Bible says we should only eat vegetables! Now, children, you should eat your vegetables. Adults, you should eat your vegetables too. But the Bible also says, like things that we read in the book of Deuteronomy when it came to the Mosaic Law, that there were all these meats that were perfectly allowed to be able to be eaten, and then other meats that shouldn't be eaten. And of course, then we have the book of Acts that breaks down the dietary law. We realize again that we don't have to live in this tension between what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, in terms of are we pleasing God or not pleasing God, but with thanksgiving, in all that we receive, we glorify God and we enjoy. That's true. This book passage in Daniel about vegetables is not intended for you to be the prescription for your eating habits for 2017. But it is intended to be the prescription towards your habits as you live as God's child in 2017. What do you mean, Pastor? Wait a second. You just said that even though Daniel ate vegetables for 10 days and did well, that this is not about how I'm supposed to eat. That's true. But it is about how you're supposed to live. But you just said it's not about what I'm supposed to eat, but it's about how you're supposed to live. Well, eating and living go together, don't they? They do, but there's a whole lot more to our living than simply our eating. Why does Daniel and his friends, why don't they eat the king's food and drink the king's wine? Why not? Last week, we began looking at the story of Daniel. And I said quite emphatically that what is going on in the first 7 verses of Daniel is Babylon's intent to Babylonianize these people that they brought from Israel in the first exile, the first wave of exiles. Take these young youths, give them good things, start to teach them our ways, our habits, blend them together so that the end result after 3 years is going to be an individual who can be of service to me in taking the rest of these people of God in embracing Babylon's God, paganism. That's the goal. That's the mindset. Daniel has many things done to him that he doesn't rebuff. They change his name from Daniel to Belshazzar, giving him the name of the pagan god. Daniel doesn't immediately stand up and say, "Don't call me that, my name is Daniel." But he does stand up and says, "You've told me to eat the king's food, drink the king's wine. I beg you, let me not do that. Let me eat vegetables instead." Chief eunuch looks at him, he says, "Look, the king gave a command, and he said all you people are supposed to eat the same thing. He wants you healthy. He wants you ready for service. You have to do it. It's my job." Daniel says, "Honor my request. Look at us in 10 days. If what I'm saying isn't working, revisit it then. But give me 10 days. You, chief eunuch, gives him 10 days. At the end of those 10 days, not only are Daniel and his friends healthier in appearance looking, but they're better than the others. They're better than the others that went along with it. Not simply those that were sitting at the king's table, but I would take that as the other Israelites. Remember, it's not just Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right, that got taken away from Jerusalem and Judah here. There are many others, prominent youths, that went along with them. They're all there in the king's court. Some of these Israelites are doing exactly what's told to them. Some of these Israelites, namely these four, are not. And that comparison about who they look better than, the Israelites that went to embrace the king's food and drink the king's drink, Daniel and his friends looked better than them. Why? Is it about the diet? Perhaps to a point. But I think more so what this story is pointing us to is the resolve of a person, of a group of people, to heed to the voice of God and not slack. God had been very clear in the Mosaic law, in which Daniel had been raised as a youth. He knew the dietary laws. He knew the stipulations. Some of the stipulations that we read there in Deuteronomy earlier on in our Old Testament reading, you can find other accounts of them in Leviticus and Exodus, elsewhere in the Torah. All right? But God was very clear. You can eat this, you can't eat this. You can eat this, you can't eat this. You can eat this, you can't eat this. Daniel has been taken out of the land by force as a result of the failure of the people to do what? To listen to the Word of God. And he's now been put into an environment where he's surrounded by all sort of pagan practices, and he says, and yet here I will still obey the voice of my God. One of the things God has commanded me is to not eat these certain meats. You think he's going to have a choice in the king's kitchen? We're serving bowl tonight. Good. Tomorrow night's pork. Oh, I can't eat. I don't know how this was killed. I don't know how this was done. I don't know how this is prepared. I can't eat. 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 Vegetables, there's no limitation. You can eat any vegetable. The only time there's any hint of a limitation hinted at in Scripture about what vegetables a Jew could or could not eat, dealt with if there was an insect that had infested the crop in some way, shape, or form, and dealing with that winged aspect of the clean and unclean insects. When it comes to vegetables, there's no limitation whatsoever. You eat as many as you want. So when Daniel says, just give us vegetables to eat, what is he essentially saying? He's not prescribing a dietary regimen of just vegetables. He's saying, in the midst of this situation in which there are things that I can't control, I'm going to control the things that I can control, and I'm not going to transgress the law of God by doing things I know are going to violate its law. Give us only vegetables. Because it meets the requirements of God's law to his people at that point in time. In Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the four who follow on faith, adhering to what had been revealed to them, looked better at the end than the others who grew up with the same mindset, the same restrictions, and sort of went down this pike. We're out of the land now. We're gone. We're in a different situation. We can cast away those restrictions. No. God's restrictions, His love, His faithfulness apply to us wherever we are. We're getting a hint of that in Daniel. We're going to see, not just simply in the dietary aspect, which is what we're looking at here, but in all the stories conveyed about Daniel, the author is telling us very specific things about the things that Daniel will compromise on, such as his name, such as reading the Babylonian literature, such as embracing some of these other things, nowhere restricted in the things that cannot be changed without forsaking the law of God. As we come to the Lord's Supper today, we come to a meal, a feast that we have been commanded to do in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a feast in which we have been commanded to eat. And yet, at times, many of us will eat and drink without any sense of what it is that we're doing or why, or we'll eat with the wrong notions. Sometimes we'll eat literally with the mindset of, I want to be healthier. There have been Christians, and there still are in the world today, that still believe that there is power in the sacrament, the tangible sacrament itself, that if you just receive it, boom, you get an influx of grace. Boom, you get an influx of health. Boom, you get something tangible that's going to restore the health of your body. There are some who eat and drink with a sense of a broken and contrite heart, longing for a deeper sense of what it means to have restoration with God, forgiveness with God, that the things that this meal symbolizes actually are speaking to in the supper. And then there are some who this happens to be communion week, and you find yourself here, or you came out because it was communion week or whatever, but after you get the sacrament, it's done. You got your sacrament for the quarter, I'll see you in another quarter. The attitude, the mindset that you bring, even to something like this, of eating to live and what that means, infuses the meaning in what it is that you do and why. What is it that we celebrate here today? What is it that Daniel does in his stand? It's living by faith on the words of God and what it is that has been revealed to us. I pray that as we focus our minds on Daniel's story more and more over the course of the months to come, and as we look at the controllable and the uncontrollable things in our own lives, that we will be emboldened to live more and more in community by faith, one with another. That the things that this meal points us to, are not simply habitual habits and practices of Christianity that make life a little more tolerable, but the very thing on which we feed, spiritually speaking, that makes our living worth eating. Let's pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for your truth. And I thank you, dearest Heavenly Father, for the love of Jesus Christ come down, for a true Passover lamb to have its blood shed, for the true remission of our sins, for the way in which the church gathers together and remembers, dearest Heavenly Father, a sacrifice not simply done in the past, but one that has important unfolding application for us in the present and in the future. Help us, dearest Heavenly Father, to live this life by faith and to do all that we do on its basis in our risings, in our slumberings, and in our communions. We ask this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.